morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open with a word of prayer. Please remember that October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and starting last week, October 5th through the 25th, is the Christmas backpacks for Camp Rock Foster Children. There'll be a poster board on the back wall for items, and the question has come up about what is and exactly what is Camp Rock Foster. I'm looking at their website right now, and it looks like we may be, maybe I'll get with Shauna or something, and maybe they'll have a video maybe next week. We'll be able to show the video. But Camp Rock began with a broken heart and a vision. They are so many children who are locked into a cycle of poverty and pain. Georgia had approximately 14,000 children in foster care last year. 2,370 of these children have a permanency goal of adoption. Of those children, 250 are available for adoption and need loving permanent homes. They offer, Camp Rock offers programs like a horse riding program, horse ministry. They offer rapid rehousing for the kids. They act as a foster agency also to help train foster parents and things like that, mentorship camps, ESL, English second language classes and everything. So we'll try to have a video on that next week if we can. But you can certainly go to CampRockGeorgia.com and watch it also. And I'll put that in the bulletin. For that, to get more information out about that. It used to be the backpacks went Appalachia, and then for a few years did even closer to Terrell County. I believe we sent backpacks to Terrell County 1 or 2 years, and the whole goal is, I think, the association is getting it closer and closer instead of, you know, sending them to Appalachia and all. So it is a good thing. We'll try to have more information on that for you next week. Tuesday, October 14th at 6:30 p.m. the Titus II Women's Meeting here at the church. Anything, Amy?
Y'all, we're going to have a really good time, so remember to come and remember to bring somebody.
Men and young men, Thursday, October the 16th is at 6:30 p.m. the Grady County Baptist Association Men's Meeting. Providence Baptist Church. I'd encourage everyone, men or young boys or young men, if you want to ride together, just meet here at the church about 6 and we'll go. Providence isn't but like 3 miles away, so it's not that far at all, and or you can meet us there if you would. Please mark your calendar for that. Saturday, October the 18th at 10 a.m. That's next Saturday, right? Wow. The children will go shopping for Operation Christmas Child shoebox gifts. If any adults would like to assist, please see Janice Lindsay. So children, remember that. We'll be going shopping, and I heard that since it's 10 o'clock, so we'll probably have lunch afterwards. So if you're not really interested in going shopping, I know you all are, but you may be interested in lunch also, like me. So lunch will be provided. Sunday, October 19th at 4 o'clock is the Grady County Baptist Association annual meeting, First Baptist Church, Cairo. We will not have any services that night. Please remember that everyone is invited. You do not have to be a messenger. So we would encourage you for your Sunday night service. Go to the associational meeting. It starts at 4. Dinner is provided, and then they have a second session. If you can't stay for both, maybe you can stay for one. But we would like anyone and everyone that wants to go, please go. It's at First Baptist in Cairo. Thursday, October the 23rd at 7 p.m. is Standing in the Gap Men's Meeting here at the church. We'll also have a meal then. men and young men and boys, remember that. And then Friday, October the 31st, 5:30 p.m. is the trunk or treat. So mark the calendar for that. Any?
Do we have our messengers for the church?
Yes.
Yes. Sissy and Brother Tim are saying yes. But please remember, like I said, it's open to everyone to come. Any other announcements? Whew. Any birthdays? Before we go to our time of prayer, just some updates. We're glad to see Miss Carolyn back from her trip to Jacksonville. Glad to see her back in church and doing well. Donna is home in Cairo.
Yeah, she's in room 201.
201 in Cairo. Rehab, right? She's going through rehab. Larry was here for Sunday school this morning, thank goodness, and he's gone back to check on her, so I continue to remember her. And many of you got the text and all about Vaughn. Any updates on him?
She texted me just before Sunday school. I had texted her this morning. She said that he'd been having a lot of problems breathing. He was breathing some better. He rested good during the night. They didn't think there was going to be much go on today because of Sunday. But that, anyhow, whenever he talks, his oxygen level drops rather low. His heart is really, really weak. And they were supposed to have been up there Thursday and Friday anyhow for a class they were supposed to take on a procedure that they're possibly going to do, but there's a very high risk with that surgery. So anyhow, so be in prayer for them, not only for recovery, but for whatever decisions they might need to make this coming week.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do just come today, Lord, just thanking you once again for the opportunity to be here to worship our Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord. And Lord, I know we went through a lot of things are going on, Lord, as we approach Thanksgiving and Christmas, and Lord, even more things will be going on, Lord. And I just pray for each and every one of these events are ministries that we are participating in, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we realize, Lord, that we are doing it, Lord, not for our own gain or for anything or for even for the church here. We're not doing it for that, Lord. We're doing it to bring glory on you, Lord, and to help people in need and all, Lord. And we just always need to keep that in mind. Lord, I do want to lift up Donna and Vaughn to you today, Lord. Just pray that you continue, we know you are, continue to be with them, Lord. Continue to be with Larry and Donna and give them the strength, Lord, that they need to get through the rehab that she so desperately needs right now. Lord, we thank you for the fact that she's been able to get back to Cairo, Lord, and we just continue to pray for them. Lord, we have a special prayer request for Vaughn and Alice, Lord, as Vaughn is in Piedmont, Lord, and having difficulties, Lord. We just pray that you'll be with them and comfort them, Lord, and give them the strength, Lord. We know you will, Lord, to seek your guidance and your wisdom in what to do in this case, Lord. Lord, we thank you for Miss Carolyn and the word that she's got on her condition and all, Lord, that things are okay, Lord, and that she is able to come back and be with us and worship with us, Lord. We just continue to lift her up to you. But Lord, we are here today to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, and I just lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as we even discussed in Sunday school, Lord. We know that as he stands up here that he is going to preach, Lord, what the Lord says, Lord, and what God's word says, Lord, and that is so important as we even saw with Balaam today, Lord, that he was told twice, Lord, once by the Lord and once by the angel of the Lord, to only say what the Lord tells him to, Lord, and that is so important, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that we will be attentive, that we will participate in this worship service, Lord, and not be distracted by worldly things. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, good morning again. Let's all stand if we can and sing together hymn 495.
Thank you.
first the kingdom of God. In 478.
Hebrews is all about applying what we have learned through the first 12 chapters of Hebrews. And so this morning I just want to continue on looking. We looked at verse 7 last Sunday night, verse 17, then verse 24. But today, this morning, I want to look at verses 7 through 9. So let's just go ahead and read those. And then we'll pray. It says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith followed, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and for how long? Forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We pray with me. Heavenly Fathers, we have read your word this morning. Lord, as we look at several different passages today, and Lord, as we just try to speak your word, to speak truth, Lord, I pray that you would lead us, that you would guide us. Lord, first, I pray, God, for the Holy Spirit to convict us where we're wrong. I pray, God, that we would learn to, through your word, Lord, to align ourselves with your word. Lord, I pray for those who are lost today that you would save them. I pray for those who have gone astray, Lord, that they would return home. I pray for those who have rebelled against you, Lord, to repent and do what is right. God, I pray that you would have your way and speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, God, I pray that you would bring about the change in us that you desire to have. Lord, have your way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at these verses, verse 7, we saw last week that this person, to remember them. In other words, we are to recognize who they are. And it doesn't mean just recognize anybody, remember anybody. It qualifies who this person is. It is the person who speaks the word of God to us. Not just the preacher, but the Sunday school teachers, or if the deacons are in the position of authority and teach class. This is for us. This is for us to listen to. Just as a leader will be held to a higher standard for what they speak to the people are also required and will be held accountable for how they listen, right? So we looked at that last Sunday night, and if you missed, I'm sorry, we didn't record it, but anyhow, I've got my notes if you need them, okay? So anyhow, we remember those who have led us. But look at what it says here. Remember those who rule over you. And like I said last Sunday, that word rule, we don't like it. But in the home, God has established who is to be the leader, right? The husband, then mama, and then the kids, right? In the church, it's supposed to be God the Father first, His Son Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, then the pastor, the leaders, the elders, the deacons, the teachers, and then the lay people. And so everything God makes and creates, He does so in order. Right? He is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. But that word rule literally means to lead us. So we are to remember those who lead us, who have spoken the word of God to us. But then it makes another qualifying statement, and it says, whose faith followed. Now listen, if you're teaching something that you're not doing, you're out of the will of God. Amen? How can you teach a Sunday school lesson on tithing if you don't tithe? How can you teach a lesson on serving if you don't serve? Can you do that? Because it's saying, listen, remember those who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith followed. How can you follow somebody's faith if they're not living out in faith? What does that say about what they believe? Because what you believe, you will what? You'll do. And if you don't believe it, you won't do it. Now, I know that's hard to swallow, but it is the truth. As we move into verse 8, we found these words. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and for how long? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe what the writer is trying to get across to us is simply this. I'm not the same as Harold Burrell. I'm not Charles Stanley. I'm not Adrian Rogers or David Jeremiah. Why? Because God didn't make me to be them, right? I am different. I have different style, different teaching, different preaching methods, good, bad, indifferent. Leaders come and go, right? Leaders come and go. That's a fact of life. People come and go. styles coming down. If you don't believe me about change, we talked about this last Sunday morning in Sunday school. The nation of Israel wandered around the desert wilderness for 40 years. How much change happens in 40 years? A bunch. I thought about this, and we talked about a little bit, you know, here again in Sunday school last week, but 1985, the movie Back to the Future was out. Y'all remember that? It was out. And many other things changed. But I thought about this. I think about how technology has changed. 1985, I was senior in high school, we had one classroom that had computers. And the only people that was in that class was geeks. I wished I would have been a geek, because maybe by now I'd be a billionaire. Who knows? But they only had five or six computers in there. That was it. Now, they got so many computers in school that when COVID hit, every kid had their own computer, right? Their own tablet. They'd go home and do whatever they wanted to on it. Think about this. In 1973, Motorola invented the first cell phone. It took until 1990s for it to become popular. My best friend, he had one of them bag phones. Did y'all ever see one of them? It cost him a fortune, you know, because there was Roman charges. And it, not the Roman government, but Roman. Everywhere you went, every tower it went through, it had to pay a fee. It was crazy. We just thought Star Trek was sci-fi, but now it is reality. I think about how by the time you get a cell phone today, brand new, it's already outdated. It's already outdated. Every 6 months, they say computers to be kept up have to be replaced. I can't afford to do that, amen. That's a lot. But think about the styles of clothing. I remember I've got my mom and dad. I hope I don't have any. If I do, I'm probably gonna burn them. When I was a kid, I used to have really blonde hair. At one time it was long, but I remember family pictures one year. It wasn't really long, but it was too long for me. I remember plaid. Anybody remember plaid colors? Everybody wore plaid. Plaid skirts, plaid jackets, long lapels. You could about tie them in the front for a bow tie. I remember that. I remember corduroy. Anybody remember corduroy? Bell-bottom pants. The thing is, you know, y'all ladies, I shouldn't say it. Styles come and go. They say that if you'll hang on to your clothes for 30 years, you just wear the ones you used to have. Because they'll come back around in style. Things change over and over again in our lives. People change. Think how much friendships have changed through the years. And you know what? We change. We change. Think about this. If you don't think you've changed, look in the mirror. Everything changes, but one thing that does not change is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Word of God never changes. If it was a sin yesterday, it is a sin today, and guess what? It'll be a sin tomorrow. Jesus is the same, but the author here, I believe, is more so speaking about the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation never, ever changes. It has always been about faith. It is faith in God. It's faith in Jesus Christ. It's faith in His perfect life, His perfect sacrifice, His perfect resurrection, His perfect ascension into heaven to be an advocate, not adversary, but a mediator for us, between us and God. He is the one who never changes. Our styles come and go. Everything changes on this earth. But God's grace through faith never changes. In the verse 9, it tells us that it is good for the heart to be established by grace. I mentioned a while ago about plan of salvation never changes. Remember the whole book of Hebrews we've been studying is that the new is better than the old. Amen. The new is better than the old. The old covenant was good, had a plan, had a purpose, but it could never save it, right? You could never keep it, so you were constantly under the guilt and shame of never being able to be set free from those sins. And even you had to remember them year after year after year, right? Keep offering the same sacrifices. Because why? Because the blood of bulls and goats could never take away our sins. So it was always that constant reminder. But through Jesus Christ and his forgiveness of our sins, his grace, through faith that when we believe in him, he forgives those sins. He cleanses those sins inside and out. But it has always been about faith. In verse 9, first part of here says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. What does various mean? Different, all kinds. There are religions today, well, I'll get into that in just a moment. It says, don't be carried away by various and strange doctrines. What is doctrine? Because a lot of people say, well, we don't like doctrine being taught in church. Well, what are you teaching in church if you're not teaching something? Because doctrine means teaching. It is principles of a body or governing body of works. But here it is about our beliefs. Okay? What do we believe? Why do we believe this? And what is the purpose in it? Well, the purpose of doctrine is for us to know that these are the facts. And guess what? The Word of God never changes. So what can we build our lives on? What should our doctrine be? It should be the Word of God. To be strange means that it is different than the truth, right? It is different. It's some other way, but the Bible is clear that salvation is through faith alone. There's no other way. You can't get there by believing in Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius or anyone else. It is through Jesus Christ. Webster's Dictionary says this about doctrine. It is teaching or instruction. Doctrine is something that is taught. A doctrine is a principle or position of a body or the body of principles in a branch of knowledge or belief. A doctrine is a principle of law based on past decisions. God has given us the Bible for our pattern of beliefs. It is his inspired written word. And that is what we hold as believers, as a church body, that the Word of God has the final say. It's not Brother Tim's opinion. It's not other Brother Tim's opinion, right? It's God's opinion. What does he say? If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's right, it's right. Okay? It's plain and simple. You say, well, it's kind of gray. No, it's not. There's no gray in the Bible. There is no gray. Even our bylaws, I took the time to look it up this week. Even our bylaws say our statement of faith shall be the Baptist faith and message as adopted by the Southern Baptist Convention. Do you know what the Baptist faith and message is based on? God's Word. And if you go through there, you're going to find one subject that says the Son of God or Jesus. And you go, and there's hundreds of verses, and you go through and look at every single one of them, and it tells you who Jesus is. That's what we base our faith on, the Word of God. to know what sound doctrine is, we must look to God's Word. Okay? That's what you build your faith on. Why do we do that? Well, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everything in God's Word is true. And anything that goes against God's Word is false. And it is strange. Because if it is not the truth, then that makes it a lie. You can't have a partial truth. Right? Does that, that's an oxymoron, right? Partial truth. No, that means it's a lie. Can't have half and half. Why do I say that? If anything goes against the teaching and preaching of God's Word, it's strange. It's strange doctrine. It's strange teaching. It's false. It's a lie. It's from the devil. How do I know that? Well, John chapter 8, verse 44, this is what he's saying. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in what? The truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. This is speaking about Satan. So where do lies come from? Satan. If God's Word is truth, Satan's trying to offer a counterfeit. But Satan's counterfeit is a lie. It leads to death and destruction. God wants to give us life and to have it more abundantly. Satan wants to steal everything you got and make you blame God for everything, right? Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews is telling us today that any teaching or instruction that goes against the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith that Jesus and the apostles taught is a strange doctrine. Paul fought the same battle, right? In Galatians, and that may be what the next book we study. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Listen to what Paul says. This is a church. Paul had spent time and time and time preaching. They knew the truth. They knew the gospel. But there was people who come in, right? Even churches today have people like this. They come in and they say, well, you know, I believe that, but I believe you got to do this. And I'll explain that to you in just a minute. Listen to what it says. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him, meaning Christ, who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. This is a strange gospel, okay? Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be, what's the word? A curse. What does a curse mean? Means damned to hell. It means to be cut off. It means to suffer eternal affliction. Be accursed, as we have said before. So now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Paul was serious about this. Because a little bit of untruth affects the whole truth. And you can't have a partial truth, right? It's either all or none. It's either true or not true. You see, the Judaizers were coming in and teaching. It's okay for you to believe in Jesus Christ. You can have faith in him. Put your trust in him. He's a good guy, good teacher. You can model your life after him. But wait a minute. You got to be circumcised. You can't eat certain kinds of meat. You can't drink certain kinds of drink. Because if you do, that means you're not really saved. You can't go to heaven because you're not following all the rules. Well, we can never keep the rules to start with, right? That's why Jesus came down on the cross for us. I know I get some stones stirred at me, but that's okay. Sometimes in church, whether intentional or unintentional, we tell people, well, you got to come, you got to kneel down, you got to say this prayer, you got to be baptized, you got to put your name on the church letter, you can't go to heaven if you're not affiliated with a church. You got to tithe every single week or you're not saved. If you don't pray every day, you're not saved. If you don't read your Bible every day, you're not saved. Is that true? Now, should we read our Bible every day? Should we pray every day? Should we tithe? You see, when you add anything to the gospel, you make the gospel of no effect. Because you're taking your works and you're saying that it's by faith plus what you do. And guess what? That nullifies the grace and gift of God, because that gift of grace only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And we'll look at this in a minute. John 3:16, Jesus didn't say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, tithes, prays, reads the Bible every day, should never perish. Right? Did he say that? He didn't say that. He said, whoever believes in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, it's by faith, through the grace of God that he gives to us. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way. Not your actions, not my actions. Is by faith. So if anyone comes in preaching anything different, teaching anything different, that is a strange doctrine. It's strange. It's untrue. How do I know that? Some religions say that there is no hell, and that there is no heaven, and that when you die, you're just simply annihilated. You just, no more. Well, what does my Bible say? In Luke chapter 13, it's probably not up there, and we're not going to take time to read all. I'll just kind of go real quick. Jesus tells those following that those who do not enter by the door Jesus has provided, they will be cast out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Some religions teach about purgatory. Right? Y'all ever heard of purgatory? We won't mention the name of that denomination, but occult, whatever you want to call it. But that is strange. You say, why do you say that's strange, Brother Tim? Because Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the what? The judgment. That there's no time in between to hit the reset button. There's no time in between for some of your family members to pay enough to the church to get you out of hell. It's not there. Can I have an amen? I know it's hard. 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with who? He didn't say you're going to have to go to purgatory first to earn your way out. Get another set, redo. It's not there. How do I know? Well, Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. You see, God's word is truth, and I believe his word to be true from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through Revelation 21, whatever it is. I can't remember the last one. 22:21, God knows. I believe it's from truth from when God spoke everything into existence to the final battle over evil and Satan. When a person is saved through faith, God gives him a seal. A seal, and that seal is the Holy Spirit of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, this is what Paul says. In him, in Christ, you also trusted that you heard the word of what? Truth. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory, to God's glory. Ephesians 4:30 tells us, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. He said, why are you bringing that in? Do you know what one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is? He convicts us, yeah. But he also teaches us. He teaches us what is true, right? He helps guard our hearts and minds. But let me take a little side note here. To avoid strange doctrine, guess what you need to know? You need to know the truth. And so many Christians today, and I'm not knocking you back, I'm just putting out the truth. Yeah. Well, let me tell an illustration first, and then I won't have to step on toes. There was a preacher who went to a church in view of a call. And they were gonna call him in, and so the preacher asked before he preached, and they said, can I go around to the Sunday school classrooms and sit in the classes and hear, you know, what's being taught? They said, sure, preacher. So he goes in the class and he sits down. There's like 6-7-year-olds in the class, and the teacher's teaching. And so he said, can I ask the kids a question? And teacher said, sure. So he said, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And the kids couldn't answer. So later that afternoon, after he preached and met with the deacons, and so he said, well, I was really concerned because the kids didn't know who knocked down the walls of Jericho. But one of the deacons said this. He said, I know the boys got good parents, they got good money, and if he said he didn't do it, I know he didn't, but if he did, we'll just pay the money it takes to replace the walls that were knocked down. You get my point? We can say we know about God, but do we know his word? If somebody was to walk in here and just start telling untruths and say that you got to do this, that, and that, and the other, and to be saved, they might not come out and just say it wide open, because then that's a red flag, right? But it's those subtle things. Remember Satan in the Garden of Eden when he was talking? He didn't tell a total lie. He told a partial lie. But that partial lie was a whole lie, right? It was false. If she was going to die, maybe not today, but she was going to die. God was not holding out on her. God was giving her the best he had, but she believed Satan instead of God. The Holy Spirit's job is to speak into our hearts and lives. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says, therefore, it is also contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes in him will by no means be put to what? You see, when you know the truth sets you free. But when you know the truth and you believe in the truth and you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he comes into your heart and life through the Holy Spirit indwelling us, the Holy Spirit's going to tell us when we know the truth, amen, know the truth, know his word. When we hear something false, a red flag, stop sign comes up and says, oh, wait a minute, that is wrong. That is wrong. Danger ahead. He's going to tell us that because he wants us to not be put to shame. It is his responsibility, the Holy Spirit's responsibility to guard our hearts. But it is our responsibility to read and to know God's word. How dangerous is it? Well, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. And the Bible's full of these things. These things I have written you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you. But the anointing, that means the Holy Spirit, which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it hath, meaning the Holy Spirit, has taught you, you will do what? Jesus said in another place, he said, if you abide in me, I will do what? Abide in you. 2 John chapter, 2 John verses 7 through 11. This one said, he says, for many deceivers that have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. You say, well, I thought there was only one antichrist. There's a lot. Anybody who comes teaching anything different than the gospel of Jesus Christ is the antichrist. It is an antichrist. He is against Christ because he's not preaching Christ and Christ crucified and Christ risen. Look to yourselves that we do not lose the things which we work for. Now, he's not talking about working for salvation. He's talking about the work they've done preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, what is the doctrine of Christ? That he is God's son, that he came to earth, he lived a perfect life, he was crucified, nailed to the cross, not for his sins, but for whose? For our sins. He died on that cross, he was buried in the tomb for 3 days, on the third day he rose from the dead, right? Defeating sin, death, shame, guilt. He did it all. He paid it all. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, the doctrine of salvation by faith through Jesus Christ, past, present, and future, right? This is what it says. If anyone comes and does not bring the doctrine of Christ, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Well, I want to respect him. Don't listen to him. You have a right not to listen. Remember, in verse 7, it says, remember those who have spoken the word of God to you. Right? Who have led you, whose faith followed. Use them as an example, but if they're preaching falsely, don't give them the time of day. In John chapter 8, verse 32, and I didn't put this up there, but I'm going to just read it for you. In verse 31, it says, and Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The only way to know Jesus Christ is to know him personally and to know his word. Because if we don't know his word, we can be led astray. We can get buy into those strange doctrines that is Christ plus something or Christ minus something. But if I do Christ plus something or minus something, then it's no longer the gospel. You see in Hebrews 13:9, there was a group of people coming into the church and they were saying the same things that Paul had trouble with in the church of Galatia. That there was these people coming and said, oh, it's okay. You can believe Jesus. It's okay. He's good. But you've got to do all this stuff. You can't eat those kind of meats, remember? Because remember back then, they couldn't eat pork. They couldn't have no pork. pulled pork dinners, right? They couldn't have their pork chops, their bacon, not a sausage, man, they missed out, amen. But listen, these people come and say, well, and we got churches today, and I won't call their denominations, I don't know if you know, but they say, well, you know, it's, you can believe in Jesus Christ, but you can't eat no pork. There are denominations today who teach that in our community, in our county. I know our time's short, but illustration. I used to cook at the expo each year, and we had a guy come in, and he worked over at Chevrolet dealer. He did it over across from us, and they came, and we fed them, and we had pulled pork, and my baked beans, and man, he ate three bowls of it. And he says, man, these things are good, because he said, I couldn't eat. Because I told him, I said, why don't you get you some pork? I can't eat pork. And he done eat three bowls of pork and beans. And I'm talking to him, why don't you get you some pulled pork? It's good, man. He said, I can't eat pork. He said, Mom, what's in these beans that makes them so good? I said, do you really want to know? I said, it's sausage. He said, pork sausage? And he wouldn't eat no more. And I'm thinking, man, you done ate it. Might as well fill up on it, you know? But there's religion that say you can't eat it. You know, and so let me check you out on this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. He said, now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the what? From the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. What is deceiving? Telling lies, right? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of who?
Demons.
Ooh, wait a minute now. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Don't that sound like America today? You don't have to get married, just sleep with whoever you want to. That's not biblical. The biblical thing says to honor your marriage, to be married first before you have sex. It tells us that. But here it says, it's saying you don't worry about forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the what? For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Yes, under the old covenant, there were foods they could not eat. But under the new covenant in Christ, that was done away with. Remember, Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to what? Fulfill. He was the fulfillment. We need to have our hearts established by grace. We are not to be established in the doctrines of men. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not by what we do. It's by what Jesus Christ has done for us. And if anyone teaches anything different, that is strange. That is strange. It is by faith in Christ and Christ alone. How serious is it? Romans chapter 16:17. This is what Paul says. He says, now I urge you, brethren. Who's he talking to? The lost people outside the church, talking to us. Now, I urge you, brethren, sisters, note those who cause what? And offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and do what? Avoid them. Here again, Paul's saying, listen, this is serious. This affects people. It tears the church apart. Because when one guy's teaching one thing over here in this class, and somebody else is teaching something over in this class, what usually is the result? Division. Division. Because here's what we do naturally. We gravitate to people who are most like us. Right? And if I don't want to do what the Bible says because this guy, Brother Tim over here, he's teaching one thing, and this one over here is saying that you got to live this way and do this, and I don't like that, then guess where I'm going to go? I'm going to slide over here because he lines up with me. I like him. I like her because, you know, she don't convict me. She, you know, she's tickling my ears, so to speak. I like that. John 3:16, and we'll close with this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gospel message in a nutshell. That is a mini gospel presentation, because it is by faith, by believing in Jesus Christ as God's Son, that he came, he lived, and per life died on the cross, rose again for my sins, for your sins, for the world's sins, for everyone who put their faith and trust in him. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. It's not believing him plus anything. It is believing him. Have you placed your faith and trust in him? Hebrews 13:9 says that it is good that the heart be established by grace. Grace of God, the grace of God is a gift. Can't be earned, right? I can't earn it. And if I could earn it, then it's no longer a gift. It's works. It's payment. It's wages. The only thing I can earn in this life is the wages of sin. And the result of sin is death, eternal separation from God the Father, from Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit, into outer darkness, torment, flames of fire. If I put my faith in what I do, guess what? I'm on my way to hell. I can only put my faith and trust in the one who fulfilled it all, who lived that perfect life. I can only be saved through what he has done, through believing in him and what he has done on the cross. If you cannot tell the difference between the true gospel and strange doctrine, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe because the Holy Spirit's not living inside of you, or maybe you just don't know the Word of God. You don't read it, you don't study it. You spend more time on Facebook and all the other social media things trying to find out everything about somebody else. Maybe, by goodness, we need to take time to find out about Jesus. Amen? Then we'll know the truth. And Jesus said, when you know the truth will what? Set you free. We stand with you. Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, God, I pray, our Lord, for one here today who may not be. I pray, God, that they would take their faith and hope and their future and place it in your hands. And place it on the blood that you shed for them so many years ago on Calvary's cross. Lord, you paid the sin debt. You have done everything that needed to be done to purchase our salvation. for there's nothing left for us to do but believe that you are Jesus, you are God's Son. You are the only one who was worthy to die as a sacrificial lamb on the cross for our sins. It's only by your blood that was shed that could cleanse us from our sins. Lord, help us today to place our faith and hope in you. And Lord, just to realize that any other teaching, any other doctrine is strange because it's false. Lord, help us to trust you today. For those who don't know you, when we start saying, God, I pray that they would just come forward and say, Brother Tim, I want to trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. For others, maybe we need to come to the altar and rededicate our lives. For some, we need to recommit to reading God's Word to know the truth so that the truth can set us free. Lord, whatever you want to do today, God, I pray that we would be obedient to you. Lord, have your way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.